Go with what you got. From 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. From time to time, all of us get overwhelmed. We feel inadequate, as if what we have isn't enough. Life has a way of saddling us with feelings of disappointment, disillusion, disaffection, depression. This is our reality from time to time. And lately, it seems as if this is, listen, can I just be transparent? It seems that this is my reality much of the time. But I stopped by this worship on Wednesday to remind us all of a truth that I am relearning. And the truth is this, that what you have is more than enough to move you from where you are to the place that God has destined for you to be. All you have to do, my brothers and my sisters, is make up your mind to go with what you got. The fact of the matter is that God has already placed what you need in your possession. In the words of the text, it's in the house, in your house. You see, there's no need to stress yourself out or worry yourself into a depression. Just remember to go with what you got. Our God promised to supply every need. Our God is the good shepherd. That means that everything we need is already at our disposal. We need only engage life's problems with God's plan and move forward to receive God's promise. I promise you what I'm preaching is in the text. Everything we need to deal with life's challenges is already in the house. It's already available to us. Just go with what you got. Watch our text. In fact, log in to 2 Kings 4 on the mobile device of your sanctified imagination. Fire up the million megapixel HD screen and engage the noise-canceling earbuds. Watch and listen as the text unfolds. Join me in the office of the Reverend Dr. Elijah, President of Israel's Ministers Conference. Do you see him standing there? He's talking to a woman, a recently widowed mother of two young children. Her husband had been a member of the conference, but now he's dead and she's left to raise her two sons on her own. To add to the burden of her grief, she recently discovered that she's bankrupt. She'd used up all the insurance proceeds and sold all of the household assets, trying to raise enough money to keep the creditors at bay, but there just wasn't enough. She's overwhelmed by the vicissitudes of life. She's left stunned and flabbergasted. Her husband is dead. She's broke. And now the bill collector says if she doesn't pay her debt by the first of the month, he's going to take her two children and sell them into slavery, using the proceeds of that sale to pay off the remainder of her debt. This is an action that was perfectly legal in the time and place and culture of our text. As you can imagine, she's at the end of her rope. She feels inadequate to the challenge. Dr. Elijah listens patiently as she tells her story. And when she finishes, he looks her in the eye and says, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm just the president of the ministers' conference. I don't have any influence at the bank. What would you have me do? I don't have the money to pay off your debt myself. I can't ask the conference to pay off your debt. My hands are tied. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do." Then just as she picks up her pocketbook and prepares to leave the office, Elijah gets some God-inspired insight and asks her a question that changes her life. Elijah asks her this question. He says, "What do you have in the house?" With hope because the man of God has asked her a question, and with helplessness because she has no way of paying off the debt, the widow replies to Elijah, "I have nothing in the house except a jar of oil." And so begins the miracle story that reminds us that even when life leaves you feeling inadequate and overcome, you can make it if you remember to go with what you got. The widow in our text follows Elijah's instruction, and in doing so, she discovers that what she needs is already in the house. Yes, she has a problem, but God has a plan. Watch the text. Elijah asks her, "What do you have in the house?" And she says, "Nothing except a jar of oil." Remember, she had sold everything she owned except for this jar of oil. And well, who would want that? If it had any street value, she would have sold it when she sold everything else. "All I have is a jar of oil," she says. It is then that Elijah discloses the plan of God. He says to her, "Go outside and borrow as many vessels as you can from your neighbors. Then go home and pour the oil from your jar into the borrowed vessels. And when each of them is filled, set them aside and report back to me." Yes, the widow has a problem, an overwhelming problem, but God has a plan. And if she follows God's plan, she will realize God's promise. The hymn writer said it like this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. All you have to do is go with what you got." It starts with this jar of oil that the woman in our text already has in the house. So here's the question: what is it about this jar of oil? Well, a little trip into the original language of the text helps us to answer the question, because the underlying Hebrew makes it clear that both the jar and the oil in it were special. You see, when you look at the word jar in Hebrew, we know that this particular jar was special because it is the jar that is meant to hold anointing oil. It's a special word used only one time in all of the Old Testament, and it's formed from a root word that means to anoint. This jar is a special jar because it contains the holy anointing oil. Why is that special? Because the anointing oil is a mixture of oil and spices, the recipe for which is set out in Exodus 30. And watch this. Holy anointing oil could only be used by priests in worship. Under the Old Testament law, misuse of the sacred oil was punishable by death. This widow had a little jar of holy anointing oil, but here's the question: where did it come from? Well, remember, only priests could have it or use it. That then tells us that her deceased husband had to have been a priest. Yes, her husband was a prophet. That's why she went to see Dr. Elisha in the first place. But in order for him to have a jar of anointing oil in the house, her husband also had to have been a priest. The widow had sold everything she owned except for this little jar of oil. And as desperate as the situation was, she would have sold that oil too if it had any street value. Problem is that it didn't. The truth of the matter is that she didn't have a whole lot of oil anyway, and what she had couldn't be used by anybody. So she stashed it away in the house. A keepsake, perhaps, a reminder of her husband's priestly legacy. Maybe she was intending to pass it on to her son when he came of age and entered the priesthood. That little jar of oil was all she had, and yet with God, that little jar of oil was more than enough. All she's got to do is go with God. Told you before, she's got a problem, but God has a plan. Her story reminds us that there will be challenges, but if you go with God, you will discover that God will move you from problem to promise by his plan. Her path to victory in the face of these overwhelming odds begins when she takes inventory of what she has. Somebody ought to shout inventory, inventory. Note that Elijah does not ask her what she once had. Elijah asked her, what do you have in the house? Verb tense matters. Hear the question posed by the prophet. What do you have in the house? Elijah is reminding her then and us today that your past is not relevant when it comes to the future that God has planned for you. What do you have in your house now after all of the challenges that have left you overwhelmed and at the end of your rope? Look around. What do you have in your house now? Do inventory. It's the question that we must ask rightly when faced with problems. What do you have now? What that reminds us of is this. You ain't lost nothing that you really need. If it's gone, if he's gone, if she's gone, God does not need him, her, or it to bless you. Listen, this is for free. Stop running behind people and things and stuff that's already gone. If it's gone, let it stay gone. Let it stay gone when what you need is already in the house. It's already in your possession. What the widow had, past tense, is immaterial. What matters is what she has now. After the death, after the divorce, after the layoff, after the sickness. Here's the question. What do you have in the house? You still got something because God never leaves us with nothing. After all she'd been through, we can see through the lens of the text that she has in the house is enough to see her through. That's the spiritual principle that God is trying to get us to embrace. Take inventory. That's the beauty of God's loving care for you and for me. God makes certain that we have what we need. Listen, if you need it, God's got it and you can have it. In fact, if you're in relationship with God, you're already set up. God had already supplied everything the woman needed, even in the aftermath of her husband's death and her family falling into financial ruin. You got to see the picture of the text. Husband dead, bill collectors calling, looks like there's no way out. Everything she had counted on is out the window. And now her sons are to be sold. The situation is dire. And yet God has given her everything she needs to make it through. And watch this. God put it in her house. I'm just trying to help you see the message in the miracle. If you go with God, you'll discover that you have everything you need. It begins by taking inventory. The hymn writer said it like this, count your blessings, name them one by one. Take inventory, pause and think about what God has already given to you. Listen, the next time you feel inadequate, like you don't have enough of what you need, ask yourself the question that Elijah asked the woman in our text. What do you have in the house? Not what did you used to have, not what would you like to have, not what do your friends and your neighbors have. Here's the question. What do you have in the house? What do you have in your possession, even after all you've been through? Watch it. The woman in our text took inventory and discovered that she had a little jar of anointing oil, and that was all she needed. But first she had to take inventory. Then the text says that she had to do some investigation. It's there in verse 3. Elijah said to the woman, go outside, borrow vessels from all of your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. investigation. That's the next step. The woman had to go out and talk to her neighbors. And when she did, she discovered this. They had some empty jars in their house. Now, there's a whole other sermon in here about these empty jars. But remember, this woman who had a little jar of sacred anointing oil in her possession is the widow of a priest. Now, because her deceased husband was a priest, and because priests lived in separate communities in ancient Israel, her home would have been located in a whole neighborhood of priests. Everybody in her neighborhood would have been a priestly family. The priests in the neighborhood would all have had need for anointing oil in their work, which begs the question, how come don't nobody have no oil? Why are all these empty vessels? I wish I had time to deal with it. All of these empty vessels in the priestly community. But here's the beauty of the text. All of these empty vessels, and it wasn't until she talked to her neighbors that she even became aware that they had empty jars that needed to be filled with the same kind of oil that she had in her house. Watch this. In following the plan, in order to realize God's promise, she had to go out and investigate and find out that the thing in her house that she had overlooked was actually quite valuable. Now watch this. She wasn't a priest herself, so she wouldn't have known that the other priestly families would have paid good money for the oil that she was holding on to as a keepsake. You see, she had what she needed, but she didn't value it. There's another sermon right in that. God had given her what she needed, but she didn't value it. So God had to show her that he'd already given her what she needed. He had to make it plain to her. So he told her, go out and investigate. And watch the text unfold. She does just that. If she'd not been willing to go talk to her neighbors, she never would have been able to change her circumstances. All she would have had was that little teeny bit of oil in that little bitty jar. And that would have been the end of it. Well, maybe I need to pull out my Spiritual Park mobile app and hang here for a minute. Because some of us have what we need to make it, but we've missed the opportunity to see God work with it because we won't put it to work the way God has asked us to do. Again, watch the text. The woman only had a little jar of oil to begin with. It was all she needed, but she had to take that little jar and put it to work according to God's instruction in order to get enough to make a difference. All right, let me try to make the practical reality of this text plain. You have what you need to move forward. It's in your house, but you got to find it and value it. Because if you don't find it and value it and put it to work like God says, all you'll ever have is that little jar of oil that ain't worth nothing to nobody. If you want to see God do the miraculous with what he's already given you, you've got to take what God has given and then do what God says. You see, the first step was to take inventory. The second step is to investigate. But lots, the third step is that you've got to employ the plan of God. You got to put to work what God has given you. It's there in verses 4-6 of the text. Elijah told the woman, here's how you employ what God has given you. Go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside. And the writer of the text notes that when the vessels were full, then the oil stopped flowing. First, the woman took inventory. Then she made investigation. Now she begins to employ the plan of God. What do you mean, preacher? Employ the plan of God. I mean this. You got to put in some work. Watch the text. What did Elijah tell the woman to do once she completed investigation? He told her, go in, shut the door, and get to pouring. Watch this. Carrying out the work of God's plan, the employ phase of God's plan, is always an inside job. If you're going to do what God asked to do, you got to go inside and shut the door. And watch this, the people from whom she had borrowed the vessels are not invited to the execution of God's plan for her life. Don't miss it. Employing the plan of God, the plan that God reveals to you, is an inside job. It's between you and God. That means you got to do the work. My sisters and my brothers, if we would experience the blessing of God, we've got to learn how to go in and shut the door and follow God's plan. Shut the door. The people who ain't got nothing to do with it need to be shut out, and you need to be shut in so you can be in position to do what God has asked of you. Outsiders are not supposed to be in the house when God is working out the miracle that you need. Perhaps that's the problem for us. We got too many folks in the house when God is trying to bless us. We've got too many people distracting us so that we don't employ the plan. Listen, you need to go inside and shut the door, just you and God. And watch this, the miracle of the text is that God allowed the oil to keep flowing until all the vessels were filled. But the oil didn't jump out of the widow's jar and into those borrowed vessels. No, the widow had to pour the oil into those vessels in her own house with the door shut. Elijah told the widow, go inside and shut the door. What God was doing for her and for her family was nobody's business. We need to learn to go inside and shut the door. Stop inviting outsiders to see what God intends for you to do. Go in and shut the door and let the Lord deal with you one on one. Go with what you got. Take inventory. Do the investigation. Employ God's plan. And finally, you got to implement it. That's what verse 7 says. Verse 7 wraps it up. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. She borrowed those vessels from her neighbor, and now she's going to sell that oil that's in those borrowed vessels, to pay off her debt. But here's the question. What about the people from whom the vessels were borrowed? Is she just going to keep those vessels or what? Remember now the background of the text. The vessels were borrowed from neighbors who were priests, and those vessels are now filled with anointing oil that could only be used by priests. That means that when the widow returns the borrowed vessels by selling the oil to the people, she's actually returning the vessels to them. I got to put a pin here and say this, that God does not bless us by having us take advantage of other people. Maybe I need to say that again. In our self-absorbed world, God does not bless us by having us take advantage of other people. God was not going to bless this widow and let her steal other people's vessels. No, they got back the vessels, and they got it back with oil in it that they needed. I told you, this priestly community, and ain't nobody got oil. Now they have oil in the vessels that used to be empty. That's God working. That's the way God blesses. He blesses us so that we can bless others. God had given her what she needed and placed her in a context in which God could also bless the community. Listen, I hope you're getting this. You've got to go with God. And when you go with what you got, God will fix it so that what God gave you will bless you and bless others. Yes, you have a problem. That's part of life. But God has a plan that will bless you and bless the folk around you. You just got to inventory, know what you got. You've got to investigate, discover how to put what you have to use. You've got to employ the plan of God, do the work, and then implement God's plan. Go and sell. Do what's necessary to address the challenge. See, God's plan uses what we have in order to address the challenges that we face. We don't just gather vessels and fill them to keep them in our house. No, we go and make what God has blessed us with available to other folk. That's how God helps us to address life's challenges. The people around the woman needed what she had in the house. But it wasn't until she followed the plan of God that God was able to resolve her problem and to bless those around her. The people got back the vessels she had borrowed with the oil that they needed. And the woman got enough money to pay off her debts. And watch this. God is so gracious. God is so awesome that she and her sons had enough left over so that they could. Here's what Elijah says. They could live off the rest. Listen, that's the kind of God we serve. When we commit to following God's plan, to going with what we got, God will give us more than enough. That's what Elijah told the woman, go pay your debts and you and your children can live off the rest. She sold the oil that she had in the house to people who needed it and made enough money to pay off her debts with some money left over. The question for you and for me is whether we will follow the plan of God and get to the promise of God, a promise of every need supplied. It really is just that simple. God has a plan that will get us to his promise. It's the promise of victory. You see, we don't have to succumb to the challenges of life. We don't have to be overwhelmed. We are overcomers. We are victorious through God who always causes us to triumph. The Lord has promised to supply every need. That's a guarantee of victory. All you got to do is go with what you got. The truth of the matter is that even when it seems you ain't got much, you're never down to nothing. It may seem that life has left you empty-handed, but never forget that we always have the promise of the presence of God. Okay, maybe you missed that in the text, but review it with me. What did the widow have in the house? What did she have when all else was gone? Yeah, that's right. She had this jar of anointing oil. Don't sleep on this fact. It's no accident that the anointing oil is what was left in the house. That's no minor detail because the anointing oil represents the presence of God. What did the widow have in the house? She had a little jar of that sacred oil that was the presence of God. Listen, Lord, help me preach this. The jar of oil in her house stands as a reminder of the reality of God's continuing presence in her life. Yes, her husband was dead, and yes, she was bankrupt, but God was still with her. She was down, but she wasn't out because God was with her. Listen, even though she had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God was with her. And in God's presence, in that little jar of oil was everything she needed. All she had to do was follow the plan of God, because the plan of God is always tied to the presence of God. When you follow the plan of God, you'll have the presence of God. God, the good shepherd who is present, always grants us victory. I just stopped by to remind you that in the tough places in life, you can make it because you're never alone. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, fight on. He promised never to leave me alone. Never alone. God's presence is enough. He won't leave you. He'll be there, right there to guide you. If you hold on, if you hold out, God will hold you up. Don't you break down. God has your breakthrough. Just go with what you got. You've got Jesus and he will see you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He's willing to aid you. He'll carry you through. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest on his promise. Jesus, how I trust him. Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him over and over. It's his presence. When all else fails, when all else is gone, remember that you have the presence of God. And that's enough to see you through. Just go with what you got. Take inventory, investigate, employ, and then implement the plan of God. It'll get you through every situation. Our God is available. Just go with what you got. And here is how it all turns out. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how it ends. It ends in victory. Just go with what you got and trust the Lord. Take inventory. Investigate, employ, and implement the plan of God. Go with what you got. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.